Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We not only proclaim that message today with Christians all around the world, but we bring it with us as we live our lives. Because through the resurrection, God has literally given us a restart, a reboot. We've been following our Lenten series, we've been talking about that. Literally, this last reboot is from death to life, eternal. It's like the turn from sorrow to joy, from hopelessness to an endless hope. It's like when an athlete thinks he lost only to find out that there's a mistake, actually won first prize. And performer gets a bad review only to find out it's not their review. Their review was perfect. When a patient who thinks they're going to die of cancer miraculously finds a cure, they're going to live. That's the change from sorrow to joy that God brings to us through the resurrection of His Son. That's what we see happening in our gospel reading today, right? They go to the tomb and they're all full of sorrow. They're ready to prepare His body. But it changes to joy. Although not right away, right? First they don't get it. First they have to think about it and are amazed by it. There we take comfort from that, even knowing the disciples struggled with it. To understand it and understand the beauty of it. What we're going to look at today is our Old Testament reading in Job. Because Job is a wonderful example of how the resurrection can empower us no matter what is going on in our lives. Because sometimes when our world comes crashing down, or maybe when it's going well, I think especially when things start to happen physically, emotionally, maybe materially, maybe relationally, you can start to think, that's not important anymore, is it? You can start to get negative and it's easy to think, oh, that was just something that happened so long ago. What does that really have to do with me now? And so as the Bible does often, it gives us extreme cases of people so that we know that we never have an excuse to doubt or to worry or to fear. So in the example of the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm the worst of sinners, and God used me as an example of mercy to know, so that you would know that God can show mercy to you wherever you are. So in the example of Job, we have someone who had pretty much everything that could go wrong happened to him. And yet his story does not end in despair. Let me describe a little bit what happened. Job lost his source of income and his labor. So all of his servants, all of his oxen and donkeys and camels and sheep, even his sons and daughters, their tornado hit their house. He lost his health. He had boils festering on his skin. He lost his honor. He lost his fame. He lost just about everything that he could lose, except for his faith. He describes earlier in chapter 19, I summon my servant, but he does not answer. Though I beg him with my own mouth, my breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own family. Even little boys scorn me, and when I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have only escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have you had it that bad ever? Probably not. And he even felt like God was angry with him, that he had turned against him, right? As we often think sometimes when things aren't going our way, it can be easy to get negative and to just get frustrated. Think, hey God, you're not being a very good God. Maybe you did something wrong. But yet we see also in the midst of all this sorrow and pain that we find one of the greatest proclamations of faith in the Old Testament. That I know that my Redeemer lives. For Job, that changed everything. That's what prevented him from going into despair. That's what prevented him from giving up. That's what gave him hope. That simple statement, I know that my Redeemer lives. Say that together. I know that my Redeemer lives. At first it might seem like something that's perplexing to us, right? That someone could rise from the dead. That we have, instead of a crucified Jesus on a cross, we have an empty cross. Because he's alive. The woman at the tomb felt perplexed. They were wondering what was going on. They were frightened, even. They noticed some of the glory of God showing in the angels. When they went back to the disciples, it says they seemed like the woman were just telling an idle tale. It couldn't be true. And even when Peter marveled at what had happened and went and saw the tomb that was empty, still, he didn't quite get it. And Jesus had to appear to him while the doors were locked twice. And even after that, after he could see that Jesus rose from the dead, yet it took him a third time for Jesus to come to him before he knew that his resurrection meant my resurrection. And that's what it means to know that my Redeemer lives. Not only that he lives, but because he lives, I live. And nothing can take that away. Paul describes to us in Romans how we know. He says, we're therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. One of all the ideas about what the resurrection means and why God did it, here we get the most clearest statement why Jesus did it. He did it to give us life, now and forever. So that's why we don't seek the living among the dead. We don't seek the life in Christ in our sins. From doing the will of the devil, doing just what the world wants us to do. No. We seek the living where the living is. In Jesus and his word. And just like Job, we await that redemption of our mortal bodies. You know, we have that tension where we're alive, yet we still must wait until the day of resurrection to have that in all of its fullness. But yet what keeps us going is that hope that one day there will be no more suffering, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more death, only life. Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. When that happens, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It was that hope of the resurrection that prevailed and propelled Job forward in the midst of his difficult and insanely horrible circumstances. Because we don't even get the promise of the resurrection, we get the promise of a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells in Isaiah 65:17. That's why it says, through Christ, he's the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. It means that Jesus is the beginning of the new creation, where death and sin do not reign anymore, but only life in Jesus. And being united with him through our faith and baptism, we can be sure we will be connected to him and partakers of that new life and creation. We know that Job's story didn't end in suffering for as much as he went through. It says that actually at the end he received twice as much as he had before. Well, it's not really a guarantee in this life. You can bet it'll be even better on the day we see our inheritance in heaven. C.S. Lewis describes it in the last battle of the Chronicles of Narnia as they follow Aslan, God, into the new creation. He says, now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. So what do we do now as people who are waiting? We live with the knowledge that we know our Redeemer lives. So say that with me. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. When it's cold and dark or rainy outside, my Redeemer lives. When I feel overwhelmed by the brokenness in the world and those around me, my Redeemer lives. When my world seems to be falling apart and I feel overwhelmed by conflict, bills, sickness, pain, rejection, or sadness, my Redeemer lives. When I suffer for my sin and stumble and feel that my sin has power over me, my Redeemer lives. When I feel alone, my Redeemer lives. When I'm ridiculed for my faith, my Redeemer lives. When I suffer for doing what is right, my Redeemer lives. When it feels like God is no longer in control, that he stopped loving me, that he's turned against me, I'm the only one going through the suffering, my Redeemer lives. When life gets so difficult I don't see how I can go on, my Redeemer lives. When I grow weary of following Jesus, my Redeemer lives to strengthen me and renew me. And even when I lose a loved one, my Redeemer lives. When I one day face the tomb as well, my Redeemer lives. Because he lives, we live now and forever. Amen.